It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Lori Fisher and technical editor Kira Pace. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely weekend. It looks like a little rain today, which is good. And we do hope you can spend the next hour with us because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So that's what we are looking for, your participation. That's very, very important to us. We have two numbers you can call. The first is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we have a toll free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. For those who do not wish to call in, and I hope there are not too many of them, you can email us at mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. That is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream on kalw.org, and the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our program today. Thanks to Joanne, and probably later in the day. And you can hear that, of course, at kalw.org and many other places. But start with KALW. I'm sure that would be appreciated. Once more, the numbers for us. Phone numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. This is really a good time to call. Please call us as soon as you can. We'll get you on. We don't want to miss you toward the end of the show. So please call us as soon as you can. If you have a question, you'll be hearing our questions momentarily. We're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. I just want to say thank you to Joshua Cosman for sitting in for me last week, and of course, Kira and Cameron Shaw. So thank you very much. Lori and I were both off. Oh, and by the way, if any of you are going to the White Elephant sale to benefit the Oakland Museum tomorrow, the preview sale, I will be there. Signing autographs. No, I'll be there in the electrical department. If you want to stop by and say hi, that's fine, of course. Hope you enjoy the sale.
What are the hours of the sale tomorrow?
Tomorrow it is 10 to 3, I believe. Perfect. So, yes, and they're all sold out. But if any of you have tickets and you're going, you know, come by and say hi. All right. All that being said, we're going to start with the round of introductions. And here's the first. Kira Pace never really cared for the jump scare trend in horror. But here we are.
True. With his yearly excitement with the announcement of the nominations for this year's Oscars, Laurie Fisher once again is surprised that he has been snubbed by the Academy. He'll return next year, always hopeful, always disappointed.
I am. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is a combination of light-skinned Hispanic and dark-skinned white, not including the age spots.
That's right. And we'll begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
All right. Sorry. Okay. I have done this before. I will do this again, but I'm going to give you the name of a character in a movie and the title of that movie. Your job is to figure out who played that character and then to identify the television show in which that person starred as the title character. So for example, if I said Larry Lonesome Rhodes in A Face in the Crowd, you'd recognize it as a role played by Andy Griffith. And then you'd answer Matlock because he starred in a show as the title character Matlock. And you would not answer the Andy Griffith show because there's no title character in that series. The main character was named Andy Taylor. So hopefully you remember having done this before.
You put some thought into this, I see.
Yeah.
How many do we have?
I've got eight.
Okay.
So the first is Jade Butterfield from the movie Endless Love. Number two is Steve the Monkey from the movie Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Number three is Buddy Holly from Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story. Number four is Officer Slater in Superbad. Number five is Principal Jordan Brown from Booksmart. Number six, I'm gonna come back to that one. Number six is Clara from Porgy and Bess, the 1959 version. Number seven is Brenda McGough from Juno. And number eight, let's do Samson Posey, also known as Number One from The Dirty Dozen. So again, Jade Butterfield in Endless Love, Steve the Monkey in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Buddy Holly in Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story, Officer Slater from Superbad, Principal Jordan Brown from Booksmart, Clara from Porgy and Bess, Brenda McGough from Juno, and Samson Posey, aka Number One from The Dirty Dozen. What are the names of the television shows in which these people were the title character?
All right, Laura, you can go ahead.
Well, I have no low-hanging fruit. I have a couple I need teamwork on. So if you have a couple you know for sure, go ahead, Dana. Then I have a couple of
Well,
collaboration questions.
yeah. Jade Butterfield in Endless Love, that was Brooke Shields, right? Was that Brooke Shields?
It was Brooke Shields.
So she was, well, there were two versions of that, but I was assuming you're one of the Brooke Shields one. And she was in Suddenly Susan, right?
Suddenly Susan is the show in which she played the title character. That is
Okay.
correct.
And then, of course, the oldest one on there, I would get. The Posey was played by, I think, Clint Walker. Was that right? Clint Walker. And then he was in a TV show in the late 50s called Cheyenne.
That is all correct.
All right.
I couldn't decide which Clint Walker to give you, so I went with the Dirty Dozen. I almost went with Sardinian Captain from the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, no. I'm glad you went with Posey, the Daily
And
Dozen.
Cheyenne was his name in the show, huh?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was the one I was circling around. And I also know that Charles Bronson was in that movie and he had a TV show too, but it's not that. The only who was Clara in Porgy and Bess? I don't remember that. Who would have ended up with a TV show? It wasn't the Dorothy Dandridge character, was it? She
No,
was in it.
that was Carmen. No, that's not. No, I don't. I mean, that was Bess.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who was that? Porgy and
Yeah.
Bess.
Who then ended up
I don't
as
know.
a title carrier? I don't mean that was the one. The rest I don't know at all. I think I should. The Buddy Holly one, I'm kind of on the outskirts of. But no, I was close on the Clint Walker, but you have it. Joanne's guessing, was it Dorothy Dandridge? Was she in Porgy and Bess? I don't think so. Was she?
Yes. What?
Oh.
No.
No.
Who was the lead in Porgy and Bess? Wasn't it Dorothy Dandridge? No. I can't remember. I'm sorry. But okay. So I
Okay.
guess why don't you just repeat the ones that haven't been gotten?
Okay, the ones that we have left are Steve the Monkey in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Buddy Holly from Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story, still the best biopic out there. Officer Slater from Superbad, Principal Jordan Brown from Booksmart, Clara from Porgy and Bess, and Brenda McGough from Juno. And again, looking not for the names of the actors, but for the names of the television shows in which they were the title characters.
So is the Officer Slater is the only one I can think of that had the TV show is it Bill Hader? Is that Bill Hader?
What TV show?
Barry.
Barry, yeah.
He was Barry.
That is correct. Officer Slater from Superbad.
Okay. All right, there we go. All right, thank you for that. And Laurie, your turn.
All right. Well, indeed, the Academy Award nominations were announced this week, and I noticed the trend that's been going on. I think in the last 8 years, six of the winners were just one-word titles, like Oppenheimer and Nomadland and Parasite. The trend continues this year. There are three pictures that have one-word titles. One is Anora, one is Conclave, and one is Wicked. I'm looking for the other films that start with those letters that are one-word winners of the Academy Award for Best Picture. So I'm looking for A, because that's Anora, C, which is Conclave, and W for Wicked. There's at least one in each category, and there's a total of nine pictures that are one-word titles. It excludes anything starting with the, so the artist would not be in there. So I'm looking for pictures that start with A, C, or W that won the Academy Award for Best Picture that have a single word. Give you like two each. There's a total of nine. And I'll tell you when we've run out of any in that a certain category. That makes sense?
Go over that once more, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so I'm looking for the movie that has won the Academy Award for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. That's a single word. And that, in this case, I'm looking for a single word that starts with A. There's more than one of them. A single word that starts with C, and a single word that starts with W, because those represent the three that are nominated this year. That's why I picked those three. Anyway, Tara, you got one?
I have Wings, which That's is it? The first Academy Award Best Picture winner, and also happens to fit your criteria.
And you've also and you just ran the W category, so all Fantastic. The rest are A and C. Way to go!
Good job. And
I'll take my other one later.
I can think of C, which is Cavalcade.
Yes, Cavalcade very early on. Give yourself a bell for that.
Right.
And I saw Joanne just rang in with Amadeus, which is one of the A's.
Right.
And we have three.
I believe Argo is also one
yes,
of the A's, right?
That is. And now, once again, you have run another category. So all the rest, there are five more C's, and let's go for those.
Oh, Rita just emailed and said C for Crash.
Rita is correct for Crash. Very good. Right. Give her a bell on that one.
Yeah.
One more from you guys.
Oh, I think that's it for the moment. I have to think about this a little further.
Okay. So there's four more one-word winners of the Academy Award for Best Picture that start with the letter C. We already have W is out for Wings. We have Argo and Amadeus are out, and Cavalcade and Crash. We're looking for four more that start with C, and the audience will get them. And all were Best Picture of the Year. Cool.
All there right. you go. And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I don't think it's us. Oh, it is us. My goodness.
It is you.
Hi there. It's Danny and Sandra in Albany.
Hi.
I can't remember the last time we were first in line.
That would be never.
I think it's never.
What's up?
They're gone. They hung up.
What? They were so startled they hung up?
They weren't ready. They've never been first.
All right. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, Chicago.
Hi.
This is Fred.
Oh, Chicago. Chicago.
Can you hear me?
Picture. Right.
Picture.
Is Chicago one of the best pictures?
Chicago is a C.
Wait,
okay.
So start again. Is this Fred?
This is Fred. And the answer is Chicago.
That is correct. From Chicago.
Okay.
From Chicago.
And West Virginia. Lori knows that. Now, when we were seniors in high school in 1965, two covers of Dylan were on the Billboard Hot 100. What were they? Two covers by Dylan on the same Billboard Hot 100 list.
They were covers of Dylan songs, right? Not him singing.
It was not Dylan. They were covers of Dylan's song, All I Really Want to Do, 1965. What two very well-known artists had covers of that song?
All I Really Want to Do is Be Friends With You. That's the song, right?
Be Friends With You, yes. Yeah. It was not Dylan. There were two covers, 1965. You were a high school senior.
Yeah. Fred and I went to high school together, so this is going back so far. I got to think about it.
If you don't get it, I'm going to sing it. That's going to be your punishment.
Oh, man. Was it Sonny and Cher? Did they have one?
So close. It was Cher.
Oh, just Cher by herself?
First hit produced by Sonny Bono.
Ah.
But the artist was Cher. And who was the other group?
So somebody else had a recording of it, right?
I had a cover of it that was competing with Cher in the Billboard Hot 100 1965.
Boy. Was it the British. Birds? Oh, British.
It was the Birds.
All right. The Birds.
The Birds and Cher. And which group got higher on the Billboard Hot 100? Who got higher?
Well, I'll guess the Birds.
Cher.
Cher.
The Birds. The Birds got to 40. The Cher got to 20 on the American Billboard Hot 100. It was reversed in England. All right. Now, really two quick questions. Who's older, Dylan or Ringo?
Ringo's 81 or 2, is he?
And Dylan's 81 or 82 as well.
Yeah. Dylan was born. Let's go. Pick one.
I'll go with Dylan.
Dylan or Ringo?
Dylan.
You say Dylan. Next. Yeah. Guess. Okay. Dana, Ringo. Very active Ringo is 84.
Oh.
Okay. Bob Dylan is 83. Ringo was a senior in high school when Dylan was a junior. And which has a greater population, Canada or California?
California.
Canada.
Laurie? Okay, we got one each. Another guess?
I'll go with Canada. Dana went with California.
We need it. Okay.
I did.
You know, Canada is higher at 41.4 million. Yeah. California is ranked second, 39.4 million. And Canada has recently exceeded California because of their immigration policy. Mm-hmm. And they have admitted more Canadians. That's all for today, boys and girls.
Thanks, Fred.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. We would love to hear from you if you have a question or answer for us. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, who teaches at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right, let me give you a couple of questions here. What are the three most filmed novels that were filmed under the original title? What are the three most filmed novels that were filmed under the original title? I'll give you each one guess.
Were they written in English?
Initially? I'm not going to say right now.
What about Pride and Prejudice?
No, that's down.
There have been
that
so
might be in
many.
The top 10, but it's not in the top three.
Well,
how many versions in the top? How many versions do they have to be in the top three?
Well, I will tell you the one with the most, it has 49 versions.
Oh my gosh.
Under the original title.
49
versions. What about Frankenstein? Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay. No, because there are a lot of, you know, Son of Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Frankenstein 1970. So there are a lot of different things with Frankenstein in the title, but they're added on to it. So I need the original title.
That would eliminate Tarzan, right? Because all the Tarzan.
Yeah, that would eliminate Tarzan.
49 versions. Wow. Go ahead.
What about Pinocchio?
That's a good guess, but no, not Pinocchio.
Okay.
Are any of the versions animated of the 49 or whatever?
I would say of the three, I believe there are two animated. There's at least an animated version of two of them, I believe. Yeah. So
have any of them been remade in the 21st century?
if not the 21st century, pretty close to it. So I'm not absolutely sure about that. So again, the question is, what are the three most filmed novels under the original title? Okay. Three most filmed novels under the original title. Second question is, what is the largest privately owned company in the United States? What is the largest privately owned company in the United States? It is a multinational company, but it is headquartered in the United States, was founded in the United States.
Ooh. So would it, isn't Trump, wouldn't that be it?
Isn't what?
I was going to say Trump, Trump, it's all privately owned and it's international.
No, no, but not Trump. No, he's nowhere near close to this.
Wow.
But Unilever.
That's a pretty good guess. No, not Unilever.
Is that privately owned?
I don't know. I don't know if it is anymore. It was at one point.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. Audience, get in on this.
Okay, so once more, what is the largest privately owned company in the United States? It's a multinational, but it's based in the United States. It was founded here. And what are the three most filmed novels under the original title? Okay. Let's see. Let me look at the emails here. There's a C. Chris has a C Oscar winner, which is Casablanca.
That is correct. Way to go. Casablanca.
Eddie says that Clara from Porgy and Bess was Diane Carroll, who starred in Julia. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, who said that?
Eddie.
Eddie, you are correct.
Nice.
Diane Carroll as Julia.
Good job. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, I'd like it to be us again.
There you go. Now stay on the line this time.
Welcome back.
We had weasels in the phone or something. We were attacked. It's not our fault. Okay, Danny and Sandra back again. For real this time.
No, really.
I was busy. We were both emailing you. What were your answers?
Okay, so I had Diane Carroll as Julia, but I also have, from Juno, it's Allison Janney, who was Mom.
Yes.
Good job.
You are correct.
Thank you. And Booksmart was the wonderful Jason Sudeikis, who was, of course, Ted Lasso.
Once again, you are correct.
Nice.
Yeah.
Shucks.
Yeah, well, Jason did all the heavy lifting. How about one of the three most filmed novels? Could it be Hound of the Baskervilles?
No, not Hound of the Baskervilles.
Oh, poo. Oh, well. I've got a quick little question here then. Looking through my IMDb, trying to find amusing things that you guys have somehow missed, which is hard. There are, I think, by my count, at least seven movies that were done between 1947 and 2003 the title starts with Johnny, and first to last is Johnny O'Clock, Johnny Belinda, Johnny Guitar, Johnny Nobody, Johnny Dangerously, Johnny Mnemonic, and Johnny English. And I'm just wondering if you can pick the one outlier. Which one of those Johnny movies is very, very different from the others, having to do with the title character?
One question. Shouldn't Johnny got his gun be on the list?
Yeah, that was the one I was thinking of, too.
Yeah, well, that's too many words. Yes, you're right. That should be on the list. But
also Johnny Be Good. From the Anthony Michael Hall film.
All right. Okay, I'll amend my question. There are at least seven movies that start with Johnny. And the seven I've chosen are these.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, there are others.
Which seven are they again? Sorry.
Johnny O'Clock, Johnny Belinda, Johnny Guitar, Johnny Nobody, Johnny Dangerously, Johnny Mnemonic and Johnny English.
Oh, I have a guess.
I think Joanne has this. Joanne says it's Johnny Belinda because it's the only one that's a woman.
Absolutely right, Joanne.
Good job,
Joanne.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, excellent.
Jane Wyman played Johnny Belinda McDonald. Oh, yeah.
That's the only one that won the Academy Award for Johnny, too, right?
I believe you're right. So, yeah, I'll see if I can scrounge up more useful Johnny trivia for some other time. But
Joanne that we're definitely listening to the show this afternoon,
yes,
because Gabrielle Yacoub was a friend of ours.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
She heard that. That's
we
great.
Recommend that.
Shout out KLW.
Yes, yes. Everybody who's listening, who was not planning on listening to Folk Music and Beyond, definitely check it out, because Gabrielle Yacoub was an amazing, amazing artist and human being. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that's all. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. We would love to hear from you with a question or answer. That's 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Kira, I think it's your turn.
Okay. I did some of these last week. I'm going to do them again this week. A kangaroo word is a word that contains all the letters of one of its synonyms or constituents. These letters may not be consecutive, but they are in order. For example, the word precipitation includes the letters R-A-I-N in that order, and rain is a type of precipitation. And here we can refer to rain as a Joey word. So I will give you some kangaroo words. I want you to tell me what its Joey word is. So I will do, I'll do eight of them. The first is aggravated. The second is capsule. Mm-hmm, capsule. Mm-hmm. The third is catacomb. The fourth is curtail. The fifth is deceased. Number six is deteriorate. Number seven is strives.
Strive?
Strives with an S at the end. And the last one, let's do rambunctious. So aggravated, capsule, catacomb, curtail, deceased, deteriorate, strives, and rambunctious. Those are eight kangaroo words. What are their Joey words?
I got a couple.
I think catacomb is tomb, right?
Yep. Tomb, okay. T-O-M-B is in catacomb in that order. That is correct.
All right.
And deceased is dead, I assume.
Deceased is dead.
And I think Joanne just had one. She has deteriorate is rot.
Yes, I would also have accepted die, D-I-E, oh, but nice. I did want rot, R-O-T. Joanne is correct.
Could you give the list just once more for folks?
Please. Sure. Aggravated, capsule, curtail, strives, rambunctious. I see Joanne has another one. She says that strives is tries, and that is correct.
That's what I had. Cool. Very good.
Okay. So I'm gonna throw another one on there for the audience. I will say rotund. So we'll add rotund to that.
All right. Leave that out. And
I said, rotund must be round.
Rotund is round.
Okay. Fun.
So for the audience, I will now throw on salvage.
Okay.
So that the audience has something to answer to. Salvage.
Good. Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Rita in San Francisco.
Hi, Rita.
Hey, I saw the Dylan biopic and got me to thinking about the highest grossing music biopics. So I was wondering if you could name the top five.
The top five
grossing music biopic.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Yeah, so not documentaries, right?
Right. No.
How about Walk the Line?
Yeah.
Yes, that is number 5. Johnny Cash.
What about the Buddy? Was it just called the Buddy Holly story?
That's its name.
The one with Gary Busey?
Not in the top 5.
And then Great Balls of Fire?
I don't think so.
Again, not in the top 5.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which is the recent one about Queen and Freddie Mercury?
Oh, right.
Oh, Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, how about that?
Yes, and that is number 1, and it grossed 3 times as much as number 2 on the list.
What about Rocket Man then?
Very good. Number 4.
All right. Yep, for people who don't know, that's the Elton John.
Just looking for number 2 and 3.
How about, which is the Sissy Spacek one?
Coal Miner's Daughter?
Right.
Yeah.
No, not in the top 5.
So are these all going to be 21st century? On account of inflation?
Yes, I believe so. One of them is quite recent.
So Rocket Man and Bohemian Rhapsody are pretty recent, more recent than that, huh?
I'm not sure about more recent, but quite recent.
Well, how about A Complete Unknown then, the Dylan film? Is that in there?
Not yet.
Okay. Knocking on
about,
the door.
How about Ray? The one about Ray Charles?
Oh, yeah.
Good guess.
No, not the top 5.
Oh, that's surprising.
Yeah.
The number 2 one, this is a very, very big
spot. The Elvis. What about the Elvis one?
Yes. Yes, that's number 2.
All right.
So just one more, right?
Just one more. This is a slightly different genre.
Is it country music?
No.
Classical?
No. No.
Is it rap?
Popular music, but slightly different than the artists we've heard so far.
Is it rap or R&B?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Is it a woman who's the featured artist?
No, these are all guys. 5 of these were men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no.
Oh. Okay,
Karen knows.
Yeah. What the movie about N.W.A.
No, it's Straight out of Compton. Ice Cube.
Okay.
So those were the top 5.
Good list.
So. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to give us a call. 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Lori, I think it's your turn.
Well, this is a good follow-up to the last question about the Dylan movie. Tonight on Saturday Night Live, Timothée Chalamet is going to have what's called double duty. He's the host and musical guest. There's been a bunch of these men who have been musical, who've been hosts and musical guests, Paul Simon, Sting, and others, but only 3 of them have been regulars on a TV show. So I'm looking for the 3 regulars on TV shows who ended up hosting and being the musical performer on the same night for Saturday Night Live. That makes sense? And just to give you some time range, 2 of them were in the 70s and 1 was somewhere in the 2000s. So 2 of them are way back. I'm sorry. And I only mean men. I'm only looking for men.
I think Paul Simon is one, is it?
Yeah, but he wasn't a regular on a TV show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Paul Simon done it 5 times. So there's many, many who have done it both, but all the 3 I'm looking for were on regular TV shows, cast members or panels.
So they were the host and the music.
And the musical guest on the same night, like Paul Simon was, and Sting, and there's been many, but all 3 of these were regulars on TV shows.
So were the TV shows they were on, they didn't necessarily sing on their TV shows? Or did they?
Two of them did, and one of them didn't. Hmm. So on their TV shows, that's a good guess. Two of them sometimes sang on their TV shows.
Hmm.
All very well known.
Oh, what about Jim Nabors?
I don't think Jim Nabors would be
host of Saturday Night Live.
I don't think he hosted or sang on Saturday Night Live.
I don't know. I didn't see the ones from the '70s, the late '70s. So who knew?
Did he sing as Gomer Pyle? I don't even know if he sang.
Yeah, occasionally. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, he's not. It would be right if he did the double duty thing, but he didn't.
All right. Leave that
but
out.
That's the right genre. People who sang occasionally on their TV shows.
And you said two from the '70s and one from when?
In the 2000s. Oh, and when I mean from the '70s, that's when they appeared on Saturday Night Live. And that's not necessarily when their shows were up. Yeah. So two were early on, and then one was more recent.
All right. We have some emails here. And as a matter of fact, one of the words was quite popular of your kangaroo words, Kira. So Sarah, Chris, Carlton, and Danny, I believe, all got aggravated. And so that is grated. Is that right?
Yes, all of them are correct.
Okay, all right.
And oh, Lori, I have one more question, or one more potential answer. Did Steve Martin do double duty when he did King Tut?
Hmm. Maybe, but I don't think he was a regular on a TV show. Was
he's a regular on Only Murders, and you said it didn't have to be.
Oh, yeah, good point.
And he was a regular on the Smothers Brothers show, too, for a while.
Okay, I'm going to check on Steve Martin, because okay. I think he definitely did King Tut, and I think he did it on the night he hosted. And that's right, he is a regular on Only Murders in the Building. So I'm going to put it, he's not, give him a bell, but I'm not, he wasn't, so now there's four people who did it. Okay. That's a great guess.
Well, he might not have done double duty. It was just a guess. I'm sorry. Dana, you had other emails. I apologize.
No, that's okay. All right, but since we're a little past halfway, let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. And Kira, I'll start with you.
Okay. I have two more of the characters where I gave you the name of a character in a movie and the title of the movie. And I want you to tell me the television show in which the person who was the character in the movie starred as the title character. So that was poorly said, but you know what I mean. The two we have left are Steve the Monkey in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and Buddy Holly in Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. Also, I've given you some kangaroo words, and those are words where all of the letters of one of its synonyms or constituents is featured within that word. So the kangaroo words that I have left are capsule, curtail, rambunctious, and salvage. Looking for the Joey words in those.
I'm looking for movies that won the Academy Award for Best Picture that are single word, and all that's left are movies that begin with the letter C. We have Casablanca, Cavalcade, Chicago, and Crash. We're looking for two more.
Did Cabaret win a Best Picture?
It did not.
Okay.
And then I'm looking for people, for men, who have served double duty on Saturday Night Live as guest host and musical performer on the same night as Timothée Chalamet is going to be doing tonight. I think Steve Martin is one that wasn't on my list, but I'm going to check. I'm looking for three others, all of whom were regulars on TV shows, and two of them appeared on Saturday Night Live in the 70s and one in the 2000s.
That's I know I'm Mick thinking. Jagger's been on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, and he's done double host, he's done both, but he's never been a regular on a TV show that I know about.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised. The list of people who have done double duty was quite long. Many, but the list of people who also were regulars on TV shows, and that's part of their fame, is shorter.
He wasn't on Gomer Pyle, huh? All right.
He might have been as a child.
All right.
Did Jamie Foxx do double duty?
No. He hosted, but I don't think he performed. I don't think so.
All right. I'm sorry. I didn't give my questions. What is the largest privately owned company in the United States? It is based in the Midwest. It's a multinational company, but founded and based in the United States. What is the largest privately owned company in the U.S.? And what are the three most filmed novels under the original title? Three most filmed, now very, very, very familiar titles, as you might imagine.
Are any of them children's books, Dana?
I would say one is, could be considered partially a children's book, yeah.
49 times, that's just a lot. Yeah. And these are all full-length films, not short.
They are. They are. One has been has 45 versions under the same title. One has 48, and one has 49.
Okay.
All right. Let me give you a quick other question here. What country in the world has the lowest internet access? In other words, the percentage of population that has access to the internet. What country has the lowest access to the internet among its population? It's less than 1%.
Wow. North Korea.
North Korea. Yes. Yes. They don't trust their people to listen to the internet or have the internet. And good job. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So this is Reed. A lot of people know my voice, but I'm going to ask you kind of different, interesting question. Miss Universe, 1935 and 1954, two very beautiful ladies. Now, remember, 1935, long time ago. By the way, both of them are living. Which country? 1935, Miss Universe, that time it is called Miss World. 1935 and 1954, Miss Universe.
I'm going with Egypt,
yeah.
Of course, please.
Taking a wild guess.
They are beautiful, beautiful, beautiful time. And they show themselves in bathing suits that year. Iran killed one woman for not covering her hair. Sorry about that. Okay, very quick question. Which university was rated to be the best public university in the U.S. by U.S. News and World Report and others?
It's usually Berkeley. Is it still?
Yes, it is. And it's still Berkeley. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Good.
14 years there. Physics, nuclear engineering. Great school. Beautiful school. Best school.
Go Bears.
Okay, very last question, which is most radioactive food you eat? In your food, what's the most radioactive? So it has some radioactivity.
Bananas.
Very, very good. Which element?
Is it uranium? It's
no.
I don't know. It's
potassium.
I will tell you the answer because I just want to have very quick.
Potassium.
Potassium.
Thank you.
Potassium. Potassium 40. Yeah. Okay. Again, the word "semitic" refers to group of language, no religion, no race, no thing, and all people of the Middle East, both Jewish, Christian, and Muslims are Semitic people. Great show always. Thank you very much. I also use that information, good information to you, to the great Bay Area public. And the whole U.S., please donate some money to KBF, LAW is the best station beside KBFA that after the demise of KGO some years ago. Thank you again. Have a good day.
Thank you, Reed.
Thank you.
So we're the best station besides KPFA. All right.
We don't call KPFA, we are the best.
Yeah, other than that. All right. Let's see. Laurie, do you have a quick question you want to throw in?
I do. Who was on the very first Saturday Night Live in October 1975, who was the very first person to appear on the screen when the show opened in its cold opening? And then if you get that right away, there were two musical guests that night. Who were they? So when the cold open happening, who was on stage? And then who were the first two musical guests that night?
So the first person on the stage was not the host. Is that what you're
saying? Correct. And I think it almost never is. You know, in the cold opening, they just have a skit, and this was a skit.
Right.
Was it Chevy Chase?
It was not. He came on toward the end of the skit.
Was it Lorne Michaels?
It was not Lorne Michaels either. Great guess.
Was it somebody who was portraying somebody in the news at the time?
No. It was a completely made-up character.
Hmm. Don't know.
It's in the, if you watch the SNL movie, the movie about that, it's portrayed in there, the word for word.
Okay. All right. Leave that out.
We'll leave it out there. So we're looking for the first person who appeared on the screen for Saturday Night Live. And then later in the show, they had two different musical guests. It filled up with and later on the show, the Muppets were on, but I'm looking for the two musical guests as well, as well as the first person who's appeared on the screen.
Okay. Great. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good day. I think I have an answer for you. Is it a confectionery company, the richest privately owned company?
It is not. I know you're thinking of the Mars company, which is
privately
owned.
That's right. I thought I heard that years ago was the richest.
Yeah, it is not anymore. Let's put it that way.
Oh, well, because that was actually a good lead into the question I was going to ask. One of their very popular candy is the initials of the richest man who ever lived.
Yeah, so M&M's.
M&M?
Being...
Yes.
Mickey Mantle, no.
No, the Mullion King. Musa, shoot. I'm sorry, yeah, I normally have this name.
You
I'm too tired.
You're right.
Mansa Musa?
That's it.
There we go.
Mansa Musa was the richest man to ever, right. He had so much, there's lots of M's associated with that because you get a Molly and Mecca. So where did he live? Or where was the center of his empire?
Timbuktu.
That's right. Not to be confused with Kalamazoo or Kathmandu. They just happen to rhyme, and I associate them in my mind. But anyway, God, you got it so fast. That was it. What did we, right. So it's not Mars. So I can guess something else for like the richest private. This is based in America. You said the Midwest, right?
Yeah, I did.
Well, now I'm going to sound like a buffoon because I don't know. But that was good. So you're saying Mars was, but now it's been toppled.
At one point, Mars was the largest privately owned company in the U.S. Yeah, but not anymore. I think it's number three now, number four.
Oh. Okay.
Is it an alcohol company?
Is it a what?
Alcohol?
It is not that I know of. I don't believe that's one of their products.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And if you'd like to give us a call with a question or answer, those numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. Kira, do you want to throw a question in?
Sure. In the 1940 film Go West, Groucho Marx says, telephone, this is 1870. Blank hasn't invented the telephone yet. The name of what actor, which was slang for telephone in the early 1940s, fills in that blank?
Don Amici.
Don Amici? Yeah.
That's right. And it fills in that blank because...
He played Bell in the movie.
The story of Alexander Graham Bell. He played Alexander Graham Bell.
That is all correct.
Yes.
A good biopic, along with Bohemian Rhapsody and Elvis.
always thought of in the same breath. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. It's Bill in El Cerrito. Let's see, Lori, how many of your C films are left off the list?
Two are left.
So is Cavalcade one of them?
It is, but Dana got that one.
Okay, then
it's a, is, go ahead.
Is one of the missing ones, was it a Western?
Yes.
Would and that have been Cimarron?
It would be Cimarron. Very good. Tonight we have Cimarron and Cheyenne. So you get a bell for that. One more C word, and it's much more recent. The final C word is within the last 5 years.
One more C title.
C title. Not C word. Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, I'm gonna it's not coming to me. I'm gonna move on. Dane, I have a question about your three most filmed novels.
All right.
Were any of them written by Dickens?
Yes.
So would A Christmas Carol be on the list?
That would be one of them, yes. That's number two, actually.
Okay. And is there another one like Oliver Twist?
No, there's no more Dickens on there.
Okay. But there is one. Okay. Moving on. Kira, the Joey for curtail would be cut.
Cut is correct. Yep.
And the Joey for salvage would be save.
Also correct.
Okay. All right. I have a question for you. This is about national parks. First of all, how many current national parks are there in the U.S.?
I think 60. Is it 60? Oh, shoot. 64.
You're just one over at 63.
Ah.
Close enough. Okay. Here's a more difficult question, perhaps. What was the second national park created?
Was Yellowstone the second or the first? I'm trying to remember now.
Neither. Yellowstone is not the answer.
Is it Yosemite?
Nope.
No, not Yosemite, not Yellowstone.
This is going to be a tough question.
What part of the country? I mean, I would imagine it's west of the Mississippi.
Okay. But yes. I'm going to say the upper Midwest.
It's not Devil's Tower. That's a monument, I think. It's not
correct.
Okay.
I'll give you a clue.
Yeah.
It's no longer a national park.
Oh.
What happened?
It was decommissioned. Maybe this will give you a clue. It was decommissioned when the fort with which it was associated was decommissioned, and the park was then handed over by the feds to the state, and it became the first state park in this state.
Does this have anything to do with the Civil War?
No, this is actually after the Civil War. It was created in 1875. It was decommissioned in 1895.
Is it in Michigan?
It is. Good.
Okay.
Good.
First state. It's not Grand Isle or was it? Is it Belle? No, it's not Belle Isle.
Oh, Belle Isle. Belle Isle?
No, it's not Belle Isle.
What fort is there in Michigan?
Is there a fort on Mackinac? Is there a fort on Mackinac?
Mackinac.
No? Give Lori a bell.
Oh, hey. It's Mackinac?
It was Mackinac National Park.
Mackinac.
When I was a kid, I think we said Mackinac, but thank you. I'm stunned.
So they decommissioned it to give it back to the state? Is that what you're saying?
No, they decommissioned the fort itself. The military decommissioned the fort. And in doing so, they decommissioned the park because the park was, you know, essentially made up of where the fort had been and the surrounding lands, and the feds said, well, you know, we're not going to keep the fort. So they decommissioned both the fort and the park, but they handed the park over to the state, and that became the first state park in Michigan.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Great. All right. Now here's the follow-ups.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. How many states have national parks?
Well, there are a bunch of states that don't have national parks. I know that. I couldn't. Let's see.
Yeah.
If you give us those, we can figure out how many do.
But then there are a lot that are that cross more than one state.
Yeah.
So it's still a pretty big number. It's roughly 40. Roughly 40 have state parks.
No, you're a little high on that, Kira.
Okay, so it's in the 30s.
Okay. Round that right to there.
30,
yeah.
Okay.
Now, which of the four states have the most national parks?
Hawaii's got a lot. Alaska definitely has a lot.
Yeah.
That's number two on the list.
And then Hawaii, I think, is on the list.
No, not on the four, not on the four with the most.
Is it Utah or?
Oh, yeah.
Utah is number three.
Yeah.
California.
Number one. So you've got one, two, and three.
So maybe Wyoming, Montana?
Go a little south.
Colorado?
Yes. Colorado's number four with four. Okay. California has nine. Alaska has eight. Utah has five, and Colorado has four.
All right.
What are the largest and smallest national parks?
Smallest is Gateway Arch National Park, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yes.
Is largest the underwater one in Hawaii?
No, it's land-based.
It must be one of the ones in Alaska.
Yes. And if you don't get the name, I think it might escape you because I'm not sure that even this name was not totally familiar to me until I saw it.
Does it start with a K?
No, it's a hyphenated name.
Oh, no, don't know.
Yeah, it's called Wrangell St. Elias.
Oh, Wrangell. Okay. All right. Yeah, I do know that.
Yeah. And last question, what's the most visited national park?
That is Smoky Mountain, mm-hmm. Great Smoky Mountains Park.
Yeah, for like 15 years in a row or more, something crazy. Yeah. Great. Thank you very much.
And thank you.
Thanks for the show.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye. All right. I think we have, do we have one more call? If it's, we'll try to take the one more call. We do. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Good afternoon. It's Sparky and Maddie. I'll get to it quickly. Frankie Muniz played Buddy Holly in Walk Hard, and he was Malcolm in the Middle, right?
Correct.
Good.
Okay. Laurie, Michael O'Donohue and John Belushi was in the cold opening of Saturday Night Live, giving an English lesson and like feeding your parts to the Wolverines. Also, Janice Ian and Billy Preston were the musical guests, right?
Absolutely correct. And Michael O'Donohue was on the screen by himself until Belushi arrived. So that's absolutely correct. Three bells for Sparky and Maddie.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. Our clock, pull the plug. Bye.
All right, thank you. All right, time to clean up here. Kira, what do we got?
Steve the Monkey in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. That was Neil Patrick Harris, a.k.a. Doogie Howser, M.D. The kangaroo words we had left were capsule, which can be shortened to case, and rambunctious, whose Joey word is raucous. That's all nice. I have.
Good job.
The C word that we're missing is not really Kira's kind of caught it. What is it, Kira? I thought you raised her up. Which movie are we missing that begins with a C that's a single word or kind of?
Oh, I know. I have no idea.
Oh, I thought it's CODA. Kind of, it's an abbreviation, right? Ah. Children of Deaf Adults. So that was that one. The three hosts who played double duty in Saturday Night Live, the most recent was Blake Shelton, who's a regular on the Voice. And then the two that are more obscure, Desi Arnaz was host and musical guest, and the other one was Ricky Nelson. So Desi Arnaz from I Love Lucy and Ricky Nelson from Ozzie and Harriet. And I'll check on Steve Martin and Jamie Foxx. I don't think so. And that's all I have.
All right. I should say that in one of the emails that Paul did get the largest privately held company in the United States, which is Cargill based in Minnesota. And the three most filmed novels under the original title are The Three Musketeers, A Christmas Carol, and Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. I would accept Alice in Wonderland or Alice's Adventures in Wonderland because they're so close. And that's it. Okay. If we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We do hope you enjoyed the show. We do hope you will join us next week. Thanks to Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Saturday at 10 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.